All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this month of Menachem Av. To thank Benjamin and Elise Wall and Netanya Eretz Yisrael for dedicating all the Sherman Joshua's this month in honor of Meshi Abramson and Jeremy Lassen, who enable all of those outside of our physical base medrash to be able to participate in our shiurim. To thank Mr. Jack Bennett for dedicating all the Sherman Joshua's this month in memory of Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport of the Givati Brigade, who died in a Hezbollah ambush in southern Lebanon in February of 1998. And to thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Nathan and Beth Adler, for dedicating all the Sherman this week in creation of the yard site of Nathan's father, Chaver Baruch Mordechai Ben Morenu Rav Nosson. And to thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Reb Daniel Golfez, in commemoration of the yard site of his father, Yitzchak Ben Aga Sela. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Lav and Aliyah, and the families in Nechama. But also with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Pei Vav. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. A really interesting and fascinating daf. So 86, we are picking up on 85b, Pei Hei Amud Beis, and we left off Amrabaye, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember again, in yesterday's Mishnah, we were introduced to the really interesting machlokes in Rabbanon and Rabbi Huda as to what is the ikar verbiage of the get. According to the Rabbanon, the ikar really is hariat mutaras lechol adam. Excuse me, that's the ikar, right? That's the ikar. You are permitted to every man. Rabbi Huda says, no, that is not enough. You need to be much more explicit in the lashon. And Rabbi Huda went through essentially the entire, we'll call it, permitting language of the get. Remember again, Rabbi Huda is not laying in front of us the entire verbiage of the get, because there's a lot that goes into a get, but rather this is the lashon that activates the get. Remember again, if there's one thing we know, the entire essence of a get is to be a sefer kusos. It's to be a document that fundamentally ends and dissolves any level of marriage between two people. Rabbi Huda says you have to have explicit wording to that effect, and that's the wording he espoused in the Mishnah. We're going to pick up on this. So Rabbi, high man, the cause of Gita, person who goes there and writes a get, lo lichtov v'din, dimashma v'din, ella v'din. So I say, now listen to this. So he writes over here in Rabbi Huda, we're just going to pretty much go through Rabbi Huda's lashon. The lashon was v'dun, diyehevi lechem inai, sefer teruchin. This should be to you from me a book. We'll get into all these lashonos. So Rabbi is just saying, don't write vidun with a yud, because then it looks like din, which looks like a judgment. And that's not the word. The word is supposed to be and this. For the lichtov igeres, demashma igeres, ele igeres. Don't write igeres with a yud, write igeres without a yud. Because apparently igeres in a yud, with a yud in Aramaic, could mean a roof. So don't write it with yud, write it without a yud. Okay. V'lo lichtov limehach, demashma limehach. Don't write limehach, but rather, because again, limehach sounds like it's a contraction of two words. Li, for me, mehach, from this. V'lo lichtov limehach, and don't write it with a ches, demashma ki chucha. Because it looks like, because again, chucha is a joke. It looks like you're writing a joke. Dies havyon, dies yatsvon, tlosa, tlosa yudin. When we're writing the words yishasvon, ultimately you will be permitted, dies yatsvon, write it with three yuds each, dimashma, te havyon vitetsivin. Because again, we'll say what those words mean, you'll be permitted and want. Velorche levav de terichin, or levav de shvukin, demashva trichin ushvikin, and elongate the vav of terichin and shvukin. Remember again, terichin means banishment, shvukin means, we saw in the Mishnah. I'm sorry, terichin banish, and shvukin means abandoned. Of elongate the vav of those two letters, the vav de shvukin, demashva trichin ushvikin. Velorche levav de kado, and go ahead and elongate the vav of kado, demashma ukadi. And ultimately, again, because it has the mashmaos, or the translation of kedi, of nothing, there is nothing left between us. V'lo lichtov le'is nasba, demashma lo yis nasba. Don't write that this sketch should allow le'isnaspa. And I will say, technically speaking, le'isnaspa could mean, it would translate it as to remarry. The problem is, it could also look like a contraction of two words, lo yisnaspa. You may not remarry. Ella lehisnaspa. Okay, so I'll say, so these are just all the different words. These are, Gemara just pointing out over here, how, whereas normally, in shtaros, all you need to do is make sure both parties know what the shtar is talking about. When it comes to gin, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is make sure that the wording leaves nothing to the imagination. And make sure that it's understood, ultimately, again, that the wording should not have any connotation of binding two people together, but lehevech should make every connotation of dissolving a marriage. Okay? So the Gemara goes weiter. So now the Gemara asks, by the way, so do you need this lashon of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah? Do you need it? The Gemara is calling it vidan. Do you need it? Or maybe it's just enough to go ahead and say, Hari at mutares l'chol adam. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, the iskin Rabbi Begide, Rava instituted the following wording in a get. Eich planya bar planya, pater v'tarech yas plonisa insisa. And again, the wording of the get was, right, so-and-so, the husband, the son of so-and-so, right, pater v'tarech, literally went ahead and freed, right? And tarech, we'll say, is lashon literally of banishment. The idea over here is we're trying to use extreme wording to indicate that this couple is no longer together. Yes, planisa, insisa, so-and-so, his wife, dahavis insisa min kadam dana, miyoma dinan uli olam, who was his wife and is no longer his wife from this day forward and forever. Now, the Gemara points out, if you notice in this lashon, v'ilu vidan lo ka'amar. Apparently, Rava didn't use the lashon of vidan, to which the Gemara says, v'letameich, kul hu mi ka'amar. Did he use all of the other lashonos as well? Ela ba'inan, hachinai ba'inan. Rather, again, I will say, the Gemara is not meaning to convey to us the entire text that Rava used, rather a sample of the text, but it must be that Rava actually did use the lashon of vidan as well. So I will say, the conclusion that the Gemara seems to be reaching over here is that halacha l'maisa, harei atum taras l'chol adam is not going to be enough by itself. One is going to go ahead and need a more amplified. It's actually interesting. I just, yesterday, so in town over here, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Benyowitz is the one who was Mesadr Gittin. So I actually reached out to him yesterday if he happened to have a copy of a get handy. So he sent it to me. I mean, after we get through the sugya, the names are blocked out, but after we get through the sugya, I'm going to share it with you, and you're going to see it's quite fascinating to see how a lot of the lashonos that we are picking up over the course of the Gemara are in fact used contemporarily in the get as well. So we'll go through it inside together. Let's go right there. So the Gemara says as follows, Miyomad dinan lafukim v'drabi osi. So we'll say we use lashon of Miyomad dinan from this day, to exclude the position of Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach. So you will say, according to Rabbi Yossi holds that the date on the get is what tells you when the get is effective as of. So technically speaking, once you have a date, you don't have to say Miyoma Dinan from this day. So the Gemara says, no, we still use the Lashon of Miyoma Dinan because we don't just simply rely on the date. All right, Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Halav. Uli olam, and we'll say, what does it mean? Uli olam forever. La tap of peivav la fuke midibay minei rav merav nachman damra hayom I atishti ulamachar alamachar atishti. What's remember we had this case a couple of days ago that a man gives his wife a get and with a condition. What's the condition? Today we're divorced, but tomorrow you're my wife. Tomorrow you're my wife. So we'll say. So remember again, we dafki use the lashon of the olam in a get. Why? What does the Ola mean? Well, it means forever. That once the marriage is severed, it's severed. Again, you can remarry, if assuming it's not a Kohen and his ex-wife. But Lamaiso, once the marriage is dissolved, that marriage is dissolved. Good. Gufo shall get shechrer. We'll say tap of peivav 86a, third line down. Gufo shall get shechrer. Hariat bas chorin, hariat diatzmech. Okay, so we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah then transitioned from talking about a get for a wife for her marriage to a get shechrer, a document of emancipation for an eved kenani or a shivcha kenanis. Excuse me. So the Mishnah said that the lashon of a get shechrer is hari at baschorin. You are a free woman. Hari at liatzmech. You belong to yourself. So iskin Rabbi Huda b'shtar zivini da'avdi. So we'll say, so Rabbi Huda, whenever he was selling an eved kanani, he instituted the following lashon: avda dinan. This eved that I'm selling you, mutztak liavdo. Ultimately, he is established as an Eved. Rashi says, Dino pasak la'avdos she'in shum irur b'mechira. In other words, he is established as an Eved. No one is contesting his status as an Eved. U'pater va'atra min charuri. And there's no charuri on him. Rashi says over here, what does this mean? Parush u'muflag mikol cherus. In other words, that no one's claiming that he's a free man, right? Umina uri malka umalkasa, and ultimately the king. And I was say, essentially, this is saying he lean free, right? The king, the monarchy, doesn't have any claims on him. Verashom diinish lo isli iluye, and the seal of another man, i.e., no one else has a claim on this particular eved. Uminuka mikalmum, and he is free from any blemish. Free from any blemish. In other words, you're buying an Eved, I will say, you want to know that the Eved is good under the hood, right? You want to make sure that Lamaisa, again, there's nothing that's going to prevent it from working. So when Rabbi Yehuda would sell an Eved, he would indicate that, you know, there's been a 4-point inspection. You know, so there's nothing wrong with the Eved. He's fine. Omin shrin dinafik at titzar chadas va'atik. And I will say, he is free from any boils that will surface within 2 years. Apparently, Rashi points out to her that there are certain boil conditions, that could come and go. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, my Eved is healthy, but Harai, I'm willing to guarantee no boils, old or new, surfacing within the next 2 years. Okay, so my Asuse, by the way, the Gemara says, what is the remedy for this boil condition? Right? If a person does have these boils that come and go, what's the remedy? Amrabai, ginbara, ginger, umarsicha. Rashi says, marsichas psolasige kesef, silver, v'chabrisa, Rashi says, gafris, sulfur, v'chala dechamra, and vinegar from wine vinegar, umishcha dezesa, a little bit of olive oil, right? V'natvik chivra, v'shaifi begadfa da'avza, and ultimately, again, white naft oil, and mix that all together, smear it on with a goose feather, and you're good to go. All right, just a little medical remedy to end that the sugya over here. Beautiful. Mishnah. Shlosha gittin psulin b'mises halal kasha. So we'll say, so now, here's what's interesting. In all of this discussion of gittin, I just want to point out to you that we have one Mishnah, one Gemara about the text of the get, which is really quite fascinating. So I'll say, like I said, we'll see when we actually go through a get itself, we'll take a look and we'll see that the lashon we use essentially is a hybrid of both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, using the lashon of Hari'at Mutaris the Choladam, but at the same time incorporating some of these other lashonos as well. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah, Shlosha Gittin Psulin. There are three Gittin that are possible. V'mnises Havlad Kasher. But if a woman remarried with them, the offspring will be Kasher. Which we'll say is another way of saying what? Another way of saying three Gittin that are Psulin. Midrabanan. So ideally, if a woman receives this kind of get, we don't want her to remarry with this get. We would want the husband to give a second valid get. But if she did use it and she did remarry with it, ultimately, again, the offspring from the second marriage are kosher. So we'll say, what are the examples? If you have a get written in the handwriting of the husband, and there are no witnesses signed on it. Now, I will say, remember again, what's interesting to note about this is as follows. What's interesting to note is, in general, why do you need witnesses? Forget about what kind of witnesses for just a moment, right? Whether it's Ede Mesirah, Ede Chasima, witnesses who sign, witnesses who see the giving over. In general, why do you need Edos on a get? Why? Why? To make sure that it's the husband divorcing his wife. Remember again, a get has to be a husband-driven process. So you have to know that indeed this is a get from this man to this woman, that he gave it willingly. We'll say, if you think about it for just a moment, what's the greatest eidos you could ever have? The greatest eidos? That the get is written in the handwriting of the husband. So I'll say, if it's in the husband's handwriting, then again, ein eidos gidol mizu, there is no greater form of testimony that ultimately, again, the husband wanted to give this gift. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written it. So this is actually quite interesting. So therefore, this is a case of ksav ksav yado. You have the get is written in the handwriting of the husband. Ve'in alav edim. There are no witnesses. So we'll say, on a technical level, that get is kasher. Now, we don't want you using that get. We don't want you using that get because, again, like anything in halacha, we like to establish a format and a process. The format is you have edos. But technically speaking, we don't want you to use this get. But if she received this kind of get and remarried with this kind of get, the offspring will be possible. Next, Yeshalav Eidim Eimozman. There are witnesses, but there's no date. We spoke about, again, the need for a date in a get. But Lamaise, if she remarried with that, with a dateless get, technically it works. Yesh Bozman Ve'eimbo Eila Eidachon. It has a date, but only one witness. Hare Eilu Shlosha Gittin Psulin Vimnise Savlad Kasha. So we'll say these are the three examples of Gittin that are possible. But if she remarried with them, ultimately the offspring will be kosher. Rabbi Elazar says as follows: Afa pi she'in alav edim, ela shenasno b'fnei edim kosher, figova b'nechasa mishubadim. Rabbi will say this is the famous shita of Rabbi Eliezer that goes back to the beginning of the Masechta of Eide Mesira Karsi. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't really need edim to sign on the document. You just need Edim to witness the giving over of the document. That is enough. Right? And if you do that, you could even collect from encumbered properties. She'ena Edim chosmin ala get elamit mei tikuna olam. For the only reason that Edim sign on a get, ultimately, again, is for the benefit of society. Let's remember again, Rabbi Eliezer holds that really the Edus you need is to, for witnesses to see the giving over of the get from husband to wife. That's what they have to witness. The only reason we have witnesses sign on the get is why? Because we'll say there's a concern. What's going to happen if the Eide Chasima, if the Eide Mesira can't be found? Right? Imagine again, Reuven divorces his wife. He does what he's supposed to do. He hands over the get in front of witnesses. And then sometimes later, someone challenges the authenticity of the get and you can't find the Eide Mesira. The beauty of having Edim signed on the get is that those signatures are forever embedded and you can authenticate the document based on those signatures. Incredible. It says the Gemara, Vesulo, Vesulaka. Are there no other cases where we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah introduced us now to this category of Gittin that are possible with Rabbanon. You really shouldn't remarry with them. But if you did, it's kosher. So the Mishnah limited the list to three. The Gemara says, are there no other cases? Are there no other examples of Gittin that are possible with Rabbanon, but if she remarried with them, they're still good? Vaha'ika get yashan. What about the case of get yashan? Right, they will say get yashan. Remember again, get yashan is a get. Reuven's divorcing his wife Rachel, and after he divorced, and after he wrote the get, he was alone with her. There was yichud. That's called the get yashan. We learn this sugya. To which the Gemara says, hasam lo teitze, hacha teitze. Here's the difference. Get Yashan, if she remarried with a Get Yashan, she doesn't have to leave her second husband. But in the cases listed in the Mishnah, she has to leave her second husband. Versus 1 second. Hanichal man da amar hacha teitze. See, here's what's interesting. Apparently, there was a machlokas as to how to read our Mishnah. That the way we just read the Mishnah was, if she remarried with these Gittin, she does not have to leave her second husband. There was an alternate reading of this Mishnah that ultimately, again, says she has to leave her second husband. So the Gemara says, "Eleman da amar hacha lo teitzei ma'ika lememar." But according to the opinion, reads the Mishnah as we just read it, that she doesn't have to leave her husband, the second husband, if she received one of these types of gittin. So why not include get yashan in the case as well? To which the Gemara says, "Hasam tinas lechatchila hacha di eved." So we'll say, apparently, in the case of get yashan, there are opinions that say that she could even remarry with this get l'chatchila. Over here in the cases in the Mishnah, she can't remarry l'chatchila. It's just b'di'evet. If she did, we don't make her leave the second husband. I v'ha'iga get kereach. What about the case of get kereach? We said this a few days ago. I think this was Sunday's daf. Get kereach. It was get kereach. That was the case of get mekushar, a folded get, and you didn't have a signature on one of the folds. That's called a bald get, a get kereach. Hasam havlad mamzer, hacha havlad kosher. The difference of Osai is that if a woman gets remarried with a get kereach, children from the second marriage are mamzerim. Here they're not. Hanichal Rabbi Meir, Damar Kalam Shalom, the Shetavacham begin of Lad Mamzer. So that's fine according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says any time you deviate from rabbinic law and get married with a rabbinically invalid get, the resulting offspring from the second marriage of Rabbi Zerim, El Rabbanah Ma'ikler, according to Rabbanah who don't hold of this, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Hasam Teitze, Hacha Lo Teitze. We'll say, here's the difference. Over there in the case of Get Kereach, we would make her leave her second marriage. In these cases, we don't make her leave the second marriage. So hani chalaman damar hacha lo teitze. So that's fine according to the opinion that says over here in the Mishnah she doesn't have to leave the second marriage. Alaman damar hacha teitze. But according to the opinion that says even over here in these cases she has to leave second marriage. Mai ika lemeimar. What is there to say? To which the Gemara says b'mekushar lo kamayri. Ultimately, again, in the case of Mekushar, we're not referring to that case. We're referring to the case of Mekushar. I vaha ika shalom malchus. So we'll say, so just to be clear, just because it's actually a very simple process that's unfolding over here, the Mishnah said that there are three cases of a get that is pasul midrabanan, and you should not get remarried with that type of get. But if you did, fine. So we'll say, the Gemara is asking, aren't there other examples? Why are you limiting it to three? Aren't there other examples of getting that are pasul midrabanan that ultimately, again, if you get remarried with them, the resulting offspring will still be mutter? That's all we're doing, trying to go through the list. To which the Gemara says, v'ha'ika shalom malchus. We'll say, what about, remember again, we learned a little while ago, that Allah Chalamayisi, you have to date the get in accordance with the monarchy in which you are residing. So about shalom malchus, to which the Gemara says, hasam teitze, hacha lo teitze. They will say, here's the fundamental difference. The fundamental difference is, in that case, if you remarried with that type of get, you actually do have to leave the second marriage. Here you don't have to leave the second marriage. So So that's fine according to the opinion that says over here in the Mishnah that the way to read it is she doesn't have to leave the second marriage. But according to the opinion that says even in our Mishnah you have to leave the second marriage, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Hasam havlad mamzer, hachavlad kasher. In the case of shalom malchus, we leave off the date of the monarchy. If you remarry with such a get, the resulting offspring are mamzerim. Here they're not. So hanichal Rabbi Meir, el rabbanam ha'ikal meimar, mokim lakid Rabbi Meir. We'll set it up like Rabbi Meir. V'hasam havlad mamzer, hachavlad kasher. Both say in the case of shalom malchus, if you leave off the date and you remarry with such a get, we establish that case like Rabbi Meir, and resulting offspring will be mamzerim. Here, they're not mamzerim. Fine. Minyan the reish lami utimah, minyan the sif lami utimah. So we'll say, so now, what we've effectively concluded is, really, there are other cases of gittin that are psula midrabanan, but ultimately, again, each of them is excluded from our Mishnah for different reasons. Then we'll say, the Gemara asks a separate question. Whenever you see a number, right, whenever the Mishnah puts forward a number is always there to exclude something, right? Which makes sense. You're saying there are three cases. Three cases means what? Means what? Not four. Right? There are three and not four. So obviously the Mishnah has in mind cases that is coming to exclude. So the Gemara says, what are the numbers in the Reish and Seifa coming to exclude? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. So, fine. Okay, well, fine. We'll come back to Rashi in just a bit. The Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, Minyan of the Reisha, Lemi'uti Hani Da'amra. So the minyan, the number of the Reisha, is to exclude all of the cases we just mentioned before. Minyan of the Seifa, Lemi'uti Ha. The number in the Seifa comes to exclude the following case. Here we go. Disanya. Hamevi Kem Medina Sayam. Person brings a get, ultimately again from overseas. Nasnula velo amarla befani nechtav u befani nechtam. I'll say literally again a throwback to the beginning of Masechta. You bring a get from overseas, and the shaliach fails to say befani nechtav u befani nechtam. This get was written and signed in my presence, and I will say, and he gives her the get, and she remarries with that get. Yotzi v'havlad mamzit de Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir will say that get is totally ineffective. She has to leave the second marriage, and any children from the second marriage are mamzerim. The Chum say in havlad mamzit. The Chum say no, the offspring are not mamzerim. Rather, what do you have to do? Keitzad yasa. What should you do to remedy the situation? So yitlena haymano biyasra v'yitlena lamef neishnayim. If you're a fineachta, fineachtam. All you have to do is take the get back and re-give it to her in front of two witnesses. And have it once again say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. Good. Excuse me. Good. Shmuel says, so that's the case. So next, let's go through the rest of the cases in the Mishnah. Ksav, v'ksav yado ve'in alav edim. Shmuel says, so case number two in the Mishnah was handwriting of the husband. Ksav, v'ksav yado ve'in alav edim. Right, so there are two, right? So again, handwriting of the husband, no witnesses. So we spoke about on a basic level, on a biblical level, technically speaking, so such a get is good. Why? Because since it's in the handwriting of the husband, it's unequivocally clear that it's being done with his das. So the verse Amarav, Ksav Yado Shaninu. Okay, we're talking about his handwriting. To which the Gemara says, Ahia, what is that statement going on? If you tell me what's going on in the first case of the Mishnah, so I'll say that's obvious. Because what's the first case of the Mishnah? Ksav yado, his handwriting. So I'll say, I just want to point out, Rav is coming and making a statement, right? Rav is adding something onto the Mishnah. What is Rav adding onto the Mishnah? They were talking about a case where it's the husband's handwriting. To which the Gemara says, all right, Rav, what are you commenting on? If you're commenting on the first case of the Mishnah already says explicitly, then what's the situation? It's the husband's handwriting. So I've already said that. So it must be you're commenting on a different case. Ve'ela amitziyasa. Rather, you must have done at the middle case. Hariyish alav edim. So we'll say again, what was case number two? Case number two was yesh alav edim ve'in bozman. Right? There's witnesses, but no date. So we'll say, so who cares if it's in his handwriting? You have witnesses in that case. Ela aseifa. Rather, it must be the seifa. I will say, what's the seifa? The Seifa case was Yesh Bozman Ve'ein Bo Ela Eid Echad. Case number three, I will say, was one witness. One witness. So it sounds like what Rav is saying is the case of one witness technically works when it's the husband's handwriting. So if you have husband's handwriting and one witness, ideally don't use this get. But if she did use this get and got remarried with this get, ultimately, again, they get, right, she doesn't have to leave second husband, and a get will be kasher. So we'll say, when is that case kasher? If it's one witness, if it's right, if there is a date and there's one witness, when is such a get technically kasher? Amadeis. The davka ksav yado ve'ed. We'll say, when will a situation of having only one witness work in a get? When it's accompanied by his handwriting, which again, you could see that essentially. We'll say, what would be the logic behind that? The logic behind that is, like, again, when you have a get in the husband's handwriting, remember, we'll say, I just want to point out, it's not the pshat that edus is its own independent, you know, halachically mandated process. The whole point of edus is to verify that which is recorded in the document actually happened and is true. To which the Gemara says, which the Gemara is telling us, well, if you have a get in the husband's handwriting, right, then that's a pretty good indication that there is an actual divorce over here, done with in accordance with the will of the husband. Baharaya, he wrote the get. So Rav's coming along and saying, the case in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah certified a get signed by an Eid Echad, and said, although it's not an ideal get, if a woman received this get and remarried with this get, she need not leave her second husband, and the children from the second union are not mamzerim. When is that true, that a get with Eid Echad is b'diavad kasher? When it's in the handwriting of the husband. Interesting. Aval ksav sofer ve'eid lo. But I will say, but if the document is in the handwriting of the sofer, so you have the handwriting of the sofer in one eid, that is not going to be enough. So I will say, that's the position of Rav. Ushmul or Shmuel says, afilu ksav sofer ve'eid, even the handwriting of the sofer and an eid echad is going to be enough. Shari shanino, ksav sofer ve'eid kasher, because also we've established that if you have the handwriting of the sofer and one eid, that is enough to verify the document. The Rav, Mita, according to Rav, how can you compare the cases? Hasam tinasi dechatchila, hacha dieved. We'll say here, technically speaking, one could say that chlechatchila she could use it, but over there it's only b'diavad. Ushmol lo kasha ha b'sifra mufak ha b'sifra de lo mufak. So Rav is actually very interesting. Rav wants to say that when you have the handwriting of the husband and an eid echad, that is enough actually to create an effective get. Shmuel says even the handwriting of the sofer is enough. But now the Gemara says, what kind of handwriting of the sofer? Again, about like everything in life, there are good soferim and there are not good soferim, right? There are expert soferim and there are novice soferim. So Shmuel says, when is the handwriting of the sofer enough? When is it enough? When it's an expert sofer. Because we'll say, what's the logic behind that? An expert sofer, a sofer mufak, is only going to write a get when he receives explicit instruction from the husband. And everything is done kedasu kedin. So therefore, what Shmuel is advancing is like this. If you see a get and you recognize the handwriting as being the handwriting of an expert sofer, that's eidos. That counts as eidos. So that handwriting plus an eid echad is going to be enough to certify the document, the get, as a legitimate document. The book says, it's fascinating, isn't it? So what you have over here is Shmuel, right? Rav saying that if you have the handwriting of the husband and an eid echad, bidi aved, that get is going to be kasher. Because you have the eid echad and the handwriting of the husband, which in itself is like an eidos. Shmuel doesn't agree with that. Shmuel doesn't disagree with that. He will agree the handwriting of the husband is meaningful. He's adding on it. He's saying, by the way, if you have the handwriting of a well-known expert sofer, that also is meaningful. Right? That's also meaningful. That also goes ahead and counts for something significant. Counts for something significant. Halacha l'maisa, again, that'll count for eidos as well. Incredible. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, k'sav yadol shaninu. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, hara yesh alav eidim. I bought about the case about yesh alav eidim. There are witnesses on the document. Amar alei aseifa. Ultimately, again, that's referring to the last case. Zimnin amarav teitze, zimnin amarav lo teitze. So sometimes we'll say, now this is interesting. Now, okay, fine. So that brings to a close what we just said before. So I'll say, so now what we come out with in the Mishnah, are three cases where halacha lemaisa, again, the Mishnah said, these are gittin that are far from ideal, but at least the version we have in our Mishnah, as we read it on Amud Aleph, is if she remarried, and right, she need not leave the second marriage. So Rav comes along and says like this, Zimnin Amarav Teitze, Zimnin Amarav Lo Teitze. Sometimes Rav said in these three cases in the Mishnah that she does have to leave second husband. And sometimes he said she doesn't have to leave second husband. So what's what? HaKetzad? Yesh Labanim Lo Teitze. If she had children from second husband, she doesn't have to leave the marriage. Ein labanim teitze. But if she doesn't have children, she should leave the second marriage. So Rav will say, this is really fascinating. So Rav essentially says like this. Listen, I apologize. Allergies this morning. I'm sorry. Okay, so Rav says like this. So Rav says that halacha l'maisa, if she got remarried with one of these gittin, which are less than ideal. So if she had children, okay, we're not going to make her leave the marriage. Why? Because we'll say, if you make her leave the marriage, that's going to cast the pale of Mamzeris over these children. But if there's no children from the second marriage, and Rav would say, she should leave the marriage. Now we'll say, it doesn't mean, in other words, we say leave the marriage, ultimately, again, technically speaking, if she gets a proper get, she may be able to remarry husband number two. But halacha l'maaseh, we don't want people remarrying with these types of gin. Masiv Marzucha Bar Tovia. So Marzucha Bar Tovia is the kasha. He said, V'kulon shahayu bahen safek kidushin or safek gerushin hara'ilu koltos v'lo misyadmos. Marzucha Bar Tovia brings up the following. Any case of Osei where you have a situation of safek kidushin or safek gerushin, right? So halacha l'maisa, if a woman is widowed without children in those situations, we make her do chalitza and we do not allow her to do yibum. Kates of Safek Kiddushin. What's an example of Safek Kiddushin? Zarak La Kiddushin. Right, a man throws his wife Kesef Kiddushin. Right. Reuven throws Rachel Kesef. Right, he throws her money and he says, Hari at mikudesh asli be Kesef Zu. So we'll say, now what happens? Safek Karov La, Safek Karov Lo. We had the Sugya. Remember, I will say, if we're not sure, is it closer to her or is it closer to him? Zeu safek kiddushin. That would be a case of safek kiddushin. So, Rabbi says, so just to illustrate this for just a moment, imagine for a moment, Reuven is marrying Rachel. Wants to marry Rachel. Takes kesef kiddushin. He throws it to her. He says, "Hari at nekudesh esli bekesef zu." What happens after he throws it? After episode, right? He dies. And I will say, so now what's the problem? So now the problem is, was Rachel, now we're not sure, was the money closer to him or closer to her? And now he's dead, right? Died without children. So now she's subject to Yibum, or is she? Because was she ever married? So this would be a case where we would mandate Chalitza and prohibit Yibum. What's the case of Safek Gerushin? Case of Gerushin is Ksav b'Ksav Yado ve'in alav Eidim. So we'll say it would be an example of, right, Safek Gerushin would be his handwriting, no witnesses, right? No witnesses. Or yesh alav eidim ve'in bozman. You have witnesses but no date. Or yesh bozman ve'in bo ela eid echad. Or you have a date but only one aid. Hare ze safek girushin. And I will say, now this is interesting, right? Because remember, these are the cases of our Mishnah, right? These are the three cases of our Mishnah. Yet here in the Braisa, these are being brought down as cases of, so we'll say in our Mishnah, we said that these gittin are invalid midrabanan, right? Invalid midrabanan. But if you remarry with them, you don't have to leave. Here, the Gemara is saying these three cases are safek gerushin. We're not sure do they affect a proper divorce or not. Ve'i amrit lo teitze. And if you say that if a woman got remarried, if you say, as we said before, that if a woman used one of these gittin, these three gittin, she does not have to leave second husband, then sarasa asya liyavume. Then ultimately, again, her co-wife may come to Duyiva. Okay, so let's say, all right, so this is a bit of a convoluted case. Let's put this out in just a second. Reuven is married to two women, Rachel and Leah. Let's assume for a moment right now that Rachel is an erva to Reuven's brother, Shimon. Okay? Now let's say, so therefore, again, in a typical case, or typical Yibum case, where Reuven would die without children, so what would be the Yibum status of Rachel and Leah? What would be the Yibum status? No Yibum, right? Why? Because remember, that's called Saras Erva. Whenever one of the wives is an Erva to the Yavam, by definition, again, she's obviously exempted and she exempts her co-wife as well. Fine. Imagine the following scenario. Imagine, right, same case though, Reuven's married to Rachel, same women, Reuven's married to Rachel and Leah, and now Rachel is an Erva, ultimately, to Shimon. So I will say, but imagine now in this situation, what happens? Reuven divorces Rachel. Okay. Imagine for a moment, Reuven divorces Rachel with a get that's his handwriting, no witnesses. Okay. So now Rachel's divorced. Now, Reuven dies without children. So I will say, so now, watch this. What's the Shaila? See, we thought Rachel's divorced. And if Rachel's divorced, then what's Leah's status vis-a-vis Yibum? What's Leah's status? She's Mechuyeves in Yibum because she's no longer the co-wife of an Erva. But Gemara says, here's the problem. I amrit lo teitze. So I will say, but now you just tell me that get is not really a good get. If the get wasn't really a good get, then Shimon is still married to both Rachel and Leah. Right? If Shimon is married to both Rachel and Leah, then what? Then technically speaking, both are exempt from Yibum. But if you say that Rachel doesn't have to leave her second husband, right? Doesn't have to leave her second husband with this invalid get, then people will assume it's because it's a valid get, which would then mean that technically speaking, Leah is going to do Yibum. And that is potentially problematic if you say that the get is not really good. Like I said, a bit of a convoluted case. V'amrit, let's read this, V'amrit lo teitze. And if you say that Rachel doesn't have to leave husband number two even when using this compromised get, asya liyabume, Leah's going to end up doing Yibum. To which the Gemara says, fine. Tisyame ve'im bakachum, let her do Yibum. Remember again, all of these gittin in question that we're discussing in the Mishnah, midda oraisa are good, right? Midda oraisa work. It's only midda rabbanan that ultimately, again, there's a concern over here. Levi amrali olam lo teitze. So we'll say, so again, I just want to point out what's happening. This is very important. So Rav is saying, in the three cases in the Mishnah of gittin that are pasul midda rabbanan, Rav will say, if she got remarried with any of those gittin, What's her status? Rav says, it depends. Did she have children from the second union or not? If she had children, she does not have to leave the second marriage. But if she did not have children, she has to leave the second marriage. Fascinating. So on the other hand, Levi says no. The Olam Lo Teitzei. Levi says no. In all of the three cases in the Mishnah, she never has to leave the second marriage. She never has to leave the second marriage. Right? And again, that's the idea of the Mishnah. These gittin are ideally, they're not great. But Allah says, if you're married based on them, you need not leave the second marriage. V'chin amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Lo Teitzei. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. She doesn't have to leave marriage number two. V'chin amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Bnei Rabbi Chalafta, the Minhuna, Hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Lo Teitzei. Right, your father said, in all of, we'll say again, the three cases of the Mishnah, right, get is in his handwriting with no witnesses. Witnesses but no Zman, or again, Zman but one witness. Right, so Allah says in those three cases, Levi says, quoting all these opinions, I just want to be clear. Everyone would agree, what would be the ideal way to deal with these three cases? Ideal way, get a new get. Right, that's the ideal way. But if she remarried with these gittin, ultimately need not leave the second marriage. Furthermore, he also threw another halacha, the kartis shaba amir. So I'll say this kartis, which is this insect we'll discuss, which is in the sheaf, eino posels b'mechatos. Ultimately, again, does not invalidate with para aduma water. Now, I will say, just very quickly about this, the halacha is that if an animal drinks, remember again, I will say para aduma water, you take spring water, mix it with the ashes of para aduma, couple of other additives as well, and you go ahead and you sprinkle it on the person who has contracted tumas meis. If an animal drinks from that water, ultimately, generally, it invalidates the water. Why? When animals drink, they drink and then they dribble a little bit back in. That is considered as if work has been done with the water, and once work has been done with the water of paraduma, it's invalid. Apparently, if the kartzis insect drinks from it, ultimately it doesn't invalidate. Why, Rabbi Osei? Here's this interesting, little known fact. The kartzis sucks the water, does not go ahead. And Rabbi Osei, you ever see something that's like when an animal drinks, like they lap it, right? So if you like lap water, right, like lap it up, so ultimately some comes in, some goes out. The kartzis apparently like, that's actual physical demonstration, right? Right? It sucks it up, and so nothing ends up going back in. Interesting. Like a kartis and like yeshiva bachar, right? If you ever watched, right? Like, right? The kartis sheba amir ena poselis mechatas. Ultimately, again, doesn't pass la mechatas. My kartis, by the way, what's the kartis? So Amar Abaye de dofta de bene kipi. It is a large fly that lives in between the sheaves. So the Gemara asks a kasha on this. Master Rav Daniel Barkatino kala opos posel mechatas. We learned if any birds drink from the chatas waters, ultimately again invalidates it, except for a dove. Mipnei shemotzetzes, because the dove sucks, right? The dove sucks the water. The dove sucks the water. Vim isa nisni chutz miyona bekartzis. So why not include it? So it doesn't. It only excludes the yona. It also doesn't exclude. It doesn't exclude the kartzis, right? To which the Gemara says, "Lo psikale the gedol apostle, the tenal apostle." Because we're saying, "No, no." With the kartzis, it's only the large kartzis. Ultimately, again, that sucks up the water. Ultimately, again, not the small kartzis. Okay, va'ad kama. By the way, so how big does the kartzis have to be to suck up everything and not to leave anything over? Until the size of an olive. Okay, interesting. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, Omer Afapi. So we'll say, so remember again, Rabbi Lazar said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar said that Alochalam, remember, this is Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer who holds that Alochalam I say, Ede Mesira Karsi, right? That everything ultimately again is about giving it over in front of the witnesses. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that Alochalam I say, you don't really need witnesses to sign on the document, you just need them to witness the giving over of the document. To which the Gemara says, "Rabbi Huda Amarav Halacha Kebelazer Begin." The Halacha was Belazer in Gittin that Edim Mesira Karsi. Right, that the Iker will say the Iker Edus on a get is not the Edim that sign in the get, but rather what the Edim who actually witness the giving over of the get. Ki amri se kamei b'shmuel. When I said this over in front of Shmuel, so amar af b'shtaras, that this is not just halach and gitin rabosei, but it applies to other documents as well. The Rav savar b'shtaras lo. Rav disagrees. He holds that no, we only hold the Rabbi Eliezer or Belozer in gitin, not in other shtaras. But the Mishnah says you can even collect from encumbered properties. And I will say that lashon of collecting from encumbered properties is not a lashon by gittin. That's a lashon by other shtaros. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar tarti amar. You're right. Rabbi will say in general, Rabbi Lazar holds ede mesira karsi, that the witnesses who witness the giving over the document are the ones who create transactional effectiveness. He holds that that is true by gittin and by other shtaros. Rav holds like him by gittin, doesn't hold like him by other shtaros. V'chein am Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, am Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, halacha ki Rabbi Lazar by gittin. The halacha follows Rabbi Lazar by gittin. Rabbi Yanai am Rafilu reach haget inbo. Rabbi Yanai says, even Rabbi Yanai fundamentally disagrees. Rabbi Yanai says, a get must have witnesses signed in it in order for it to be effective. And if you don't have witnesses signed in the get, and all you have is Eidim Mesira, there's not even Reach HaGet. Remember about Reach HaGet? Reach means like the scent of a get. Scent of a get means that sometimes, even if a get is invalid, there could be some get residue that's there. He says it's not even Reach HaGet. Rabbi Yanai Leslie Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yanai doesn't know Rabbi Lazar. Halki Kamar. No, he holds a Rabbi Lazar, but rather he's saying, according to the Rabbanon, there's not even Reach HaGet. Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar begin. The halacha follows Rabbi Lazar that Eidei Mesira Karsi. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Reach HaGet Einbo. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not true. There's not even a Reach HaGet if all you have is Eidei Mesira. Lame Rabbi Yochanan, let's say Rabbi Lazar. Does Rabbi Yochanan not hold of Rabbi Lazar? No. Halki Kamar the Rabbanon, Afilu Reach HaGet Einbo. He's saying, I hold like Rabbi Lazar, but according to the Rabbanon, there's not even Reach HaGet. Shalach le Rabbi Abba Barzav. So interestingly enough, we find ourselves back once again in one of the original machloksim in Maseches Gittin about what creates the effectiveness of the get. Is it Eidei Chasima, the witnesses who sign on the get, or Rabbi Meir, or is it Eidei Mesira, the witnesses who see the giving over of the get, Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara says, but what you begin to see from here is there is mounting support for the position of Rabbi Elazar that Eidei Mesira karsi. Shalach le Rabbi Abba Barzav Lamari Bar Mar. Does halacha follow Rabbi Lazar or not? That's the machlokes, or that's the shaila. Does it follow Rabbi Lazar or not? And the halachi nach nashed Rav Huna. In the meantime, well, after they asked the question before it was answered, Rav Huna passed away. Amar le Rabba Berei halachi Amar Abba Mishmei de Rava. This is what my father said to Rava. Halacha ki Rabbi Lazar begitin. The halacha follows Rabbi Lazar by getting about say Eidei Mesira Karsi. For Rabbi Sina habikim b'dvar halacha b'shem Rabbeinu amru halacha k'Rabbi Lazar begin. Rabbi Sina, we'll have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem with this tomorrow. But again, in Meretz Hashem, very exciting because by tomorrow, we will in Meretz Hashem go ahead and we will go ahead and get to the halachas. Listen, by the way, I just want to mention this so Dov kind of added in over here. I mentioned before about the other additives to the Paraduma. I didn't mean additives. There's nothing actually else added to the water. There are other parts and parts of the Paraduma process, right? So there's the Eitz Erez, there's the Ezo, there's other things, but nothing else actually itself added to the water. Thank you, Dov, for pointing that out. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Shkoyach, tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, Halacha L'maisa. Shkoyach, everyone.